Today on It's So Bad, we're talking about the game from 1997 about spaceships and monkeys versus foxes. It's called Star Fox 64 here on It's So Bad. Hello, Rick. Welcome. Thank you for joining me this evening. How are you doing?
Doing great.
How is life?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty okay. No complaints.
No complaints.
So what have you been playing recently? We just played Star Fox. Yes, that is correct. But what have you been playing in your own time?
I played a little bit of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay. Which just came out this week.
Yep. Probably but about 2, maybe 3 hours in.
Okay.
Wanted to play it a lot more, just haven't had time, but so far what I have played, it's been good.
I'm gonna tell you the amount of hours I think it takes to finish that game.
Alright, 60.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot. You'll play it a lot longer. I mean, if you want to.
Are you gonna actually beat it though, do you think?
It's gonna be tough.
It's just so hard these days.
I'm gonna try.
You play anything else before Red Dead came out? Still playing Hollow Knight?
No, I didn't. I stopped playing it. I don't know. Every time I think about it once in a while, but I don't know if I'll go back to it.
Any SNES classic games that you've been playing?
No. Played the NES classic for a little while.
Yeah. What'd you play on there?
Old Ninja Gaiden.
Did you try out the Switch Online? We tried it out together.
Yes, we played ice hockey.
Could you hear me, awesome. By the way, when I was using the voice chat?
I doubt. I don't know. I had to turn the volume down because the baby was like in right there.
Because I was like, Rick. And you're just like not talking to me. So you could hear everything that I was saying. Unbelievable.
No, I had the volume down.
But I could hear you talking to your wife in the background. It was pretty funny.
Oh, really?
But we played a game of ice hockey, and I was alone with my baby. And you scored a whole bunch of goals to tie it.
Yeah.
when he started crying.
Yeah.
So that was
get distracted.
Yeah, that happened. Have you played anything else on the NES Switch Online there?
I played not for a whole lot of time, but that Legend of Zelda. What is it?
The special AP, or something? The
SP edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what that is, right?
It's you get all the items at the start.
Not all of them, but yeah, a lot of them. You have like 300 coins. You get the blue tunic, or the white tunic, blue ring. You get a bunch of stuff, and you're just like, I'm like, game wasn't that hard to begin with. Like, was it? Was it that hard?
I think some people who haven't played Nintendo games probably think it's hard.
But talk about like, right? You want easy, there you go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it just makes it more accessible. I mean, I think it's pretty cool that they're doing stuff like that. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do beyond just that game. Mm. Because are they going to make like Mario Brothers with like a million lives at the start or something? You know, it'll be interesting to see what other games they do that to.
I read an article on Nintendo actually earlier today, I think, about how they're the Switch is a year and a half in now, and Nintendo's running into that age-old problem of the Nintendo problem where like they have a lot of first-party games that are like really, really, really good and worth buying the system over, but there's nothing else coming out for it. Like you'll never get Red Dead Redemption 2 on this or Fallout 76.
Those will never come.
That's the mainstream, and it's just not going to come here.
Yeah, but I mean, I actually have bought more third-party titles for the Switch than I have for any Nintendo console since like the GameCube, because there's so many indie games. And like I just
If you count the indie games.
And I just bought all the downloadable games that they have. Like I just bought that Capcom Beat 'em Up collection.
Yeah, but would you, if you had the choice to buy like Diablo 3?
I'd probably buy it on the Switch. Anytime there's like I just bought Dark Souls Remastered for the Switch.
Did you really?
Yeah, because it's I wanted to play that game, and I was waiting for the Switch version to come out because it's portable.
Yeah.
Because I can feel better about having a child, mm-hmm. and being with him, even though he's 4 months old, with the portability of it. Instead of like sequestering myself downstairs in the video game room, I can like chill with them and like hang out and help when I need to because it's portable. And especially like my wife puts down the baby usually, and if I'm in the bed with it, it's like I'm there. So yeah. I can help her out and talk to her and whatever. So it's good for the new father, the Switch. So I have a lot of third-party stuff that I'm buying for the Switch.
The video game father.
The video game father. But speaking of buying stuff, have you bought anything other than Red Dead Redemption 2?
Did not, but I'm looking very forward to the Super Smash Ultimate.
Yes. I just got...
Watched part most... The direct was very odd. Very odd. I didn't watch the whole thing.
The one like that was just yesterday?
Yeah. Did you watch it?
It was pretty good. Yeah,
it was good. I liked the beginning, but then it got weird, and they were talking about, like, things that, like... It was just not... Let me give you an example, which I thought was very, very odd for this day and age. They were talking about the online play, and they were like, okay, and when you play online, you know, we recommend that you use this Ethernet adapter.
Yeah, that was real weird.
And hardwire it in. Use and I'm Ethernet like, this is adapter. 2018.
Why are you making a recommendation about what I'm plugging it into? That's real. That was real.
I thought this is the most portable system, and yeah. You're like, hey, get it stuck. And not make it portable. And
that is a good point.
2018.
Good point.
I was like, why are they even bringing this up? Like, if that's, that may be true, which is fine, get it. But why even bring it up?
I did think one of the one of the nice messagings that they had in their marketing was that for the DLC, you get five fighters, right? It's like $25 if you want the five fighters. You can do like a season pass.
You have to pay an extra $25?
If you want all, so there's these going to be DLC packs, which are $5.99 a piece. That's a fighter, a stage,
okay.
And the music related to it.
Okay.
And then if you pay $25, you can get the season pass.
Oh, man, they are milking that. So they're basically going to get $85 out of each person.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the bat.
Definitely. But the interesting thing about it was they said for the season pass, you can buy it today. But they said, hey, if you don't trust us, don't buy it. But if you trust us, we recommend that you buy it. They literally said that on the direct.
Think about brainwashing you.
Yeah,
you bought it, right?
They basically said they were like, if you believe in us and what we do, buy it. But we can't tell you anything because we're still working on the fighters. So that's what they said, and I was like, that's pretty upfront about for a company, especially in this day and age to say that, because usually they'd just be like, fighter season pass, excellent guys.
They use that loyalty card.
Yeah, like, of course.
People love Nintendo.
Of course, I'm gonna buy it.
You either love the living shit out of Nintendo, or you just don't care about them at all. And the people that do love them, like you and me, you'll buy pretty much anything they tell you to.
Yeah, if it looks good, I'm,
right?
Yeah. Or if it, I don't know.
I
bought Star Fox Zero, so that game was terrible. Although I haven't bought like Paper Mario, Sticker Star, those games, because that game's real bad too.
Yeah. The first one of those games that I think I might actually think about purchasing, I talked about it before, the new Yoshi game.
Oh, that looks good.
For the Switch. That looks pretty good. I might try that out.
Yeah.
We'll see though.
So I bought in a couple of games this past month. I mentioned Dark Souls Remastered that came out. I pre-ordered that so I could get that Amazon $10 off when they still had that deal that they got rid of a month ago.
Yeah.
So I got that like last week. I also just got the 4-player Smash Brothers adapter, which I showed you.
Yep.
They already sent those out, which is interesting since the game is out a month from now.
Oh, so what, you bought it on Amazon and just randomly showed up today?
Yeah, they released today.
Did you know it was coming?
They sent an email.
Okay. But why wouldn't it come out the same time the game comes out?
I have no clue. But those things were so super hard to find, I had to pre-order it. So
it's funny how they made one of those adapters for the Wii U too, right? And yep. Although we had it built in. Remember the GameCube in the back? But they're basically just making money off of that. Like the next system, they'll have the GameCube adapter.
Right. Do you know it's the same one as the Wii U? I can plug that one into the Wii U and it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's just the same thing. Hmm. But yeah, I made a couple other purchases. I found at a Salvation Army this game. So Blaster Master had a game for PlayStation. It was called Blaster Master Blasting Again. So I picked that one up. I also found So I bought the Capcom Beat 'em Ups collection, but I found out a used video game store, Capcom Classic Collection, which is like just random Capcom games over the course from the 80s and the 90s, which looked pretty good. And I bought Half-Life for PlayStation 2, which came out.
Half-Life 2?
Just Half-Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it came out for PlayStation 2.
You really never hear about that one.
No,
it's always Part 2 you hear about.
Yeah, so I bought that. I also, I don't know if you know this, but you know Gamefly, the rental place?
Yeah.
So
how are they doing?
I don't know, but so I follow a Twitter, which I've mentioned on here before, called Wario64, at Wario64. It shoots out deals, and I found through him, Gamefly sells used games. And they don't just sell used games, they sell like pristine used games with all of the codes and everything that originally came with the game inside of the container, the sleeve. And they're super cheap. So I got Assassin's Creed Origins, which I wanted to play, for like $15. So I picked that up. So Gamefly, rental used game sales. They're good people. You should check them out. Those are just some of the pickups that I had this past month or so. But we were just talking about the baby, and we both have babies. So tell me, how has the baby changed your video game playing? Has it just lessened it?
Yeah, just lessened it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's days where I want to go home from work and just, play the game. But then when I come home and I see her, and I'm just like, I'll just chill up here.
With baby.
With the baby.
Yeah.
You know, have fun with her and I just don't play.
Do you find that you're playing the Switch more at all?
I was for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I think I play a little bit more on the Switch because I can just be closer.
The Switch is, for me, is kind of getting to that. Just there's not a whole lot coming out that's interesting me right now. Like Smash, I'm looking pretty forward to. But besides that, beyond that, like I'm excited for Metroid.
Yeah.
But like I have no idea when that's coming out.
See, I don't know if I'm really excited for stuff, but like I have a list of games that I want to play that are on the Switch. So I have Dark Souls, which is going to be my next game because I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn now, and I'm like 30 hours into it, and I'm almost getting to close to the end.
I've been playing that game for a while now.
Yeah, probably like 2-3 weeks.
Oh, really? That's it?
Yeah. So playing Horizon Zero Dawn, and then once I beat that, I'll play Dark Souls Remastered on the Switch. And then after that, I kind of want to play, finally Undertale, which just came out on the Switch in September.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
It's a little like Earthbound, they say, right?
Yeah, it's different.
I want to play that too. I'm like, I don't know if I can invest the RPG game. I just don't know if I have it.
I don't think it's that long.
No?
No. So, Undertale's on there. Just bought the Capcom Beat 'em Up collection. Mm-hmm. Been rocking out to the Mega Man X Legacy collection. Beat Mega Man X recently. Those games are super fun. I never really got into the X games. Got into the Mega Man original games, but not the X games.
Did you get the new one?
Not yet, but that's a game I kind of want to play. Smash Brothers.
Totally changed the art style. I don't know where that came from, but
I don't mind it. It's not the greatest, but it's not the worst.
Yeah, but not, I would have preferred the original.
You know, well, they tried it with 9, and they needed to change it up a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. And 10.
I don't think anyone asked for that, so.
Yeah. I don't know. But Smash Brothers is coming out. I think the Switch has a decent lineup of games that I want to play, at least. I don't know. Yeah. It's not for everybody, I guess.
Yeah. I still love it.
I do want to check out the Fire Emblem game that comes out on there. That's next year in, like, March.
I kind of wanted to get a Mario Party, but I mean, you need people. Yeah. It's couch co-op. Like, yeah. You couldn't play that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want that game, but I know that I'm not going to get super value out of it. Like,
it must be sad if you're like this. If you're a child right now and you are playing that game online with like 3 other people, but they're not next to you.
And you can't
like,
talk
and
shit.
And you think you're having fun, but I'm like, no, dude. You don't have no idea what it was like to play that game with 4 people on the couch.
That was good.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
But we're talking about a game this week. We're talking about Star Fox 64.
Star Fox 64.
Thank you. Star Fox 64 was developed by Nintendo EAD, which developed a lot of games in that generation. Published by Nintendo as well. Came out in 1997. Do you remember getting this game back in the day?
Yeah, don't tell me the date. It was either... Was it July 6th?
I don't know about the date. It's like July or August, though. It came out in the summer of 1997. Yeah,
I played a lot when it came out.
Where did you get it from? Do you remember?
Toys R Us.
Yeah, from, yeah, so, yeah. So this is a weird game for me.
This was back before the GameStops and, well, GameStop that took everything over.
Yeah.
As far as retail goes, you know.
So this is a strange game for me. So I don't remember asking for this game, and it was my birthday, and it wasn't anything, but my grandmother bought me this game for some reason, and she just gave it to me. And this is going to make me sound like I'm extremely wealthy. But she was driving me home from playing golf when I was 13 years old, and she gave me a N64 game. It's very strange. She used to buy me games occasionally when I was like real little, like Nintendo games, but like not random games that I didn't even ask for. We'd like be out and she'd buy me a game, which made it super strange.
You know why she probably bought it for you,
though? Why?
Because when this game came out, it was in the beginning of July or end of June. You probably got good grades.
Maybe.
For the year. And she's like, here you go.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember why I got it, but I did get it. Game was packed in with the Rumble Pack, it had the big box. It's
awesome.
I don't remember any boxes that were that big for the N64.
No, that was the biggest.
It was like a double wide box. Directed by Takao Shimizu. Produced by Shigeru Miyamoto, this game. It's known as the Lilat Wars in Australia and Europe. Did you know that?
I think you've heard that before.
Yeah, I guess there's a company called Star Fox in Germany, and it sounds, if you pronounce that in German, it sounds very similar to Star Fox. And there was another reason why the first one wasn't named Star Fox either. I don't think it was related to that, but yeah, it was called Lilat Wars in those regions. It's a reboot of the original Star Fox game. It's not an original game. Which is crazy because it came out like 4 years after the original Star Fox, or 3 years. It was a reboot.
I think it was 2 years, wasn't it?
It was short.
I think Star Fox on the Super Nintendo was 95 and this was 97.
Oh, maybe. It might be 94. But this, so Star Fox, as we know, originally used a Super FX chip, the original one. It was developed primarily as a showcase of the Super FX chip, I guess, because a guy is actually a Western guy. I think he's from the UK. He might be American, named Dylan Cuthbert. He made a 3D engine for the Nintendo, the NES. Nintendo was impressed by it, and they asked him to create one for the Super Nintendo. And that's how the Super FX chip came out. He said he needed that technology in order to make a 3D environment. But yeah, so this was a second iteration of that game. I guess it was originally inspired by Miyamoto going to a shrine in Japan where there were fox statues and there was a fox deity that he prayed to. And I don't know if you know the arches, the like Japanese Asian arches that exist. Well, they're around. If you go to Chinatown, for example, you know the arch. Well, there's Japanese versions of that, and he was inspired by that. That's why there's so many arches in this game.
Oh.
Also, this game and Star Fox in general is based upon the phrase in Japanese, fighting like dogs and monkeys, which is their version of fighting like dogs and cats. So that's how the protagonist and the antagonist came about. And you played the second game, which never came out, was unreleased on the SNES Classic.
Yep.
Tell me about it a little bit.
It was, I can see why they didn't release it. It was clunky, you know, it's difficult to play. Can't really see what's going on. The polygons just aren't that great. So I didn't play through it. I only played it for maybe, you know, a level or two. It was difficult to play. It definitely felt unfinished. I know they said they finished it and never released it, but it felt unfinished. It didn't feel as good as the first game, which came up before it.
Well, it's not a linear game either. You have like a map where you have to like intercept missiles and do all this other crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it just wasn't... I don't know. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one or nearly as much as Star Fox 64.
And that game was unreleased until 2017. So it never came out. Reason why Star Fox 2 never came out was, I guess, Miyamoto has been quoted as saying he wanted a clean break between the Super Nintendo and the N64 in terms of 3D stuff. And Star Fox 2 has like the all-range mode that's in Star Fox 64, which is fully 3D. You can move around an environment. And he said that, I guess, he wanted, didn't want to turn people off from 3D technology, and that they could do it much better with the N64, which was coming out like a year and a half later, or 2 years.
That, I think that was that could have been interpreted a couple of different ways. He more or less said that that game, if it was going to come out, it was in 96, I believe.
Yeah.
And like Sega Saturn had like Panzer Dragoon come out, and it's like, why? It was just so much better graphically. It would have made Star Fox 2 look like complete garbage. So they just didn't release it. That was the other theory.
Right. And so they changed development. They canceled Star Fox 2 and immediately announced Star Fox 64 for the Nintendo 64. And there's been developers quoted as saying that only 10% of Star Fox 64 is actually new material. So they lift a lot of material and stages and level design from the original Star Fox. They said it's 60% original Star Fox, 30% Star Fox 2, and then 10% new stuff. That's what they've been quoted as saying. And of course, everything's cleaned up and looks a lot better than it does on the Super Nintendo. Tremendously better. They added voiceovers to the N64 version, which was kind of like a mind-blowing thing at the time. I'm sure, do you remember any Nintendo or Super Nintendo games that had voiceovers, like actually Nintendo developed games that had voiceovers like this game?
I can't think of any.
I don't think there are any, because even Zelda doesn't have any voiceovers. Ocarina of Time.
No
Super Mario 64.
Nothing. Ken Griffey.
I don't think it had voiceovers.
No.
Maybe. Yeah. But yeah, so this is where a dual barrel roll comes from. This is also where never give up, trust your instincts is from. Do you remember any other good quotes from this game?
Dual barrel roll, that's the popular one right there.
Tell me about, did you have the promotional VHS tape that came out?
I did.
Yes.
I had it. It was awesome.
Did you get Nintendo Power back then? So that's why you got it?
Yeah, I imagine that.
Yeah.
I think it came in one of the magazines.
So tell me what happens in that video.
Some guy gets captured by these, like, bandits, thugs, whatever you want to call them. One has a Sony t-shirt on, one has a Sega t-shirt on. I'm sure you can see where this is going. They torture them, tied them up. They put a Mario doll in a vice.
And then they
until they told him about Star Fox 64.
And then they electrocuted Mario.
They did.
I was like waiting for them to like put his balls in the vice or something.
You know, one thing I did want to say about that tape is, which... It was, we briefly talked about the production of it earlier, and how, you know, it was it's funny, but it's just really, really poor. I think they might have, I guess maybe they meant for it to be like that. I don't know. But when they were playing multiplayer mode, all four of them, there was at least one or two guys that was totally holding the controller way wrong.
I saw that too.
You think, and I'm like, you can't play it like that.
They always did that in like videos and movies and stuff. It's like, you can't take the 2 seconds to research how to play this, because in the promotional tape, I remember watching this and seeing this. I always look for this in like movies and TV shows. He's holding the D-pad grip on the left side,
which you never use,
in Star Fox 64.
You never use it in like 90% of the games, if not more.
So it's like, what is happening? I always hate when they do that.
Yeah, I never understood that.
It's like such a minor thing that I hate. I can't believe
Nintendo of America allowed. They're like, yeah, that's good. Send it out. Like, this the quality control of that company and that tape, they were like, yeah, that's fine. Like, think about, they're showing people how to use the controller incorrectly. Millions and millions of people.
And it's like a really complex controller for people who haven't played video games.
And even the guy that was using it correctly, he was like touching the thumbs. Like, he didn't have his thumb on there and just rotating it. He was like touching it, like slamming it back and forth. And I'm like, that's not how you would use that either.
So bad. It's really bad. You know what I remember about those promotional tapes is that they were legit VHS tapes that only had 15 minutes worth of of content.
Yeah, they were really light.
Yeah,
they had a lot of tape.
Yeah, they had like little tiny amount of tape in the spool. I remember that for some reason. I had the, we've talked about this before, I had Donkey Kong Country, I think I had Banjo-Kazooie and a couple other ones. Banjo-Kazooie.
You must have let your subscription last.
Never had Nintendo Power.
You must have.
No, I never.
Oh, you never had it? No, oh, you just got a hold of the tape somehow.
Well, I think like, I remember how I think they got my mailing is that I sent in for the free Super Mario All-Stars.
Maybe that, yeah.
That'd be smart. I don't know.
Nintendo likes to market to their own clientele.
They do.
Right? They don't, like, they won't reach out to a Microsoft fanboy and try to grab that person. Like, the kids I work with, we've also talked about this, they will never even touch a Nintendo Switch.
Do you know, so, you know what I was thinking about? That would be fucking genius if I could go back in time and be the marketing person for Nintendo. If you went back in time, right, and you had a borderline game that wasn't necessarily great, but was decent enough that you could probably sell some units. You know how you could really push unit sales for if you were a Nintendo company in like 96, 97 without the internet, 95 in the infancy of the internet, is you could go to high schools, right? Give away a copy to like one kid who played Nintendo games and he would just push it. If you had an in, like if you had ways to just give out copies, give out 100 free copies and make sure that one goes to every region of the United States. Because if you had a game like Battle Tanks, for example, and it wasn't that great, but you, if you had it, you played it a shitload and you loved it, then you would probably increase your sales like a lot if you just gave away more copies. It's just my theory that I came out with today.
I feel like the N64 era was probably the last era where if they tried something like that, I feel like the person that got to play the game would be like the nerd.
Right.
And it wouldn't push the copies because video games weren't talked about that much in until we got to like the end of high school.
Right.
With like GTA.
Yeah.
Then people started being like, hey, I play video games. So do I. When before everyone would be in secret like, oh, I'm playing video games. But you know that everyone did.
It was funny how that was like, it was basically professional wrestling back in the day.
Yes.
And professional wrestling still has that taboo. It's weird.
Yeah, it does.
For some people, it does. But yeah, the gameplay. You play as an R-Wing sometimes. You play as a Landmaster tank sometimes, and you also play as the Blue Marine submarine. The Blue Marine submarine in one level. I think there's two tank levels, right?
I believe so.
And then there's all R-Wing levels, and then there's one submarine level.
But the thing about the tank, though, we talk about the one level for the submarine, the two for the Landmaster. The Landmaster you could play in the multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
But the submarine you couldn't. So it was like they created this submarine, which was pretty awesome, especially for a water level. Water levels in most games are horrendous. It was pretty fun, but it was just one level.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, too, because the submarine also, the reticle, the thing you aim with, changes, too. It's like arrows pointing at each other instead of having the box around it. And it also has the homing thing that you can, the homing torpedo that lights up the environment as it goes. And it's just a really good design, and for some reason it's only one level, and it's on the hardest path, and it's the most difficult level to get to, I think, in the game. Because the other levels you can pretty much get to pretty easily.
Right.
Very strange. Did you like the Blue Marine level?
I did. I enjoyed it. I liked when you used the bomb, it just like lit the level up.
Right.
Just the lighting effects. Obviously, by today's standards, it's not good, but back then, first time seeing things like this, I was like, oof.
This is a pretty simplistic game. I mean, there's not much you can do. You can fly up and down, left and right, hard left, hard right. You can do a loop-to-loop. You can do the turnaround if you're in 3D mode. You can shoot, you can lock on to enemies, you can shoot a bomb. That's pretty much it. You can do a barrel roll.
Well, I mean, you just listed off a bunch of stuff. Back then,
right,
it was a ton. You know, today, yeah, things are different now, but that was a lot of stuff.
I did I don't think all range mode, which is the fully 3D mode as opposed to the forward progressing stages, were that well received back in the day. I don't think they're very... It's difficult because you have to, like, fly far away and then
definitely
do a turnaround.
Definitely wasn't as fun.
No.
You know?
So that was introduced in this. It was first in Star Fox 2, but that game was never released. And you can, again, do a loop-de-loop to go behind your guy, your enemy that you're chasing, or do a 180-degree turn if you want to. So I never really had that much fun in it. But that's the way the multiplayer game is. It's all in that 3D box.
It has to be.
Right. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. No co-op. Unlike Star Fox Zero, that's where you can... mark Star Fox Zero off as the better game, because you can have two players and have one guy be the aiming guy. It's dumb. That game is really bad.
The helicopter, what were they thinking?
Oh my god, the helicopter's so bad. I was thinking about the chicken walker and thinking about how bad that was. That was real bad. Star Fox Zero is a very polarizing game.
The R-Wing levels weren't that bad.
It was still pretty bad, because you had to pilot the thing with your thumbstick and look at the screen, and then you had to aim by looking at the TV. So you couldn't. Right. So bad. Like, why would you do this?
And they didn't let you play that game with the pro controller, right?
No, you had
Which
to have.
Would, like, why?
It's so bad. You had to play with motion controls.
Why?
It didn't make any sense. That was, like, I think the last game they'll probably make where you have to play with motion controls.
Yeah, it was bad.
So bad. I hope they don't do anything like that with the Switch. Any motion control shit.
No.
They've been good about that so
far.
They
have been really good about it. You know, so for Mario Party has a lot of it in it, but I think they make it fun. Because they make you play with the Joy-Cons.
I think you can turn it off, too.
Oh, can you? Can you play with the Pro Controller?
I think you can turn off the motion control levels. I'm pretty sure. I don't really know. I have friends who played it recently. What else? Oh, yeah. Star Fox Zero was just terrible.
It was.
So bad. There's many different paths you can go down in this game. So there's an easy path, a medium path, and a hard path. And what I mean is, when you first boot up the game, it shows you a map of the galaxy, and you can, through actions in each level, you don't pick, but if you go through a series of arches, or you hit these targets, then you will go down one path or another path. And it's pretty easy to find out how to do it, although some levels are more cryptic, I would say, than others. But the first level, for example, you go through, I think, 5 or 6 arches, and then you go down one path to the other one. The Independence Day level, that one you have to beat the enemy ship in time, and then you go down the medium path level. There's a whole bunch, but when you played back in the day, you mentioned that you beat it the first time through.
I did.
Do you remember losing lives?
Don't remember losing lives. I may have, but I definitely beat it first shot. It was like a half hour,
so it's super quick.
Yeah,
I beat it earlier this week in 40 minutes, I think, probably less than that. And it's just super, super quick and easy to pick up and play. I mean, we just played and we blew through like 90% of the game in 30 minutes, so it's pretty it's an easy game. It's not like you die that often. I think where the replayability comes in is if you want to get badges for each level. I don't even think they open up anything,
right?
They might actually. Fun. They might just open up. Good. They might open up stuff in multiplayer. I don't really remember, but you can get high scores for levels, and it just you can get medals for it eventually. The replayability comes in the various different paths. Do you remember your favorite levels besides the Independence Day level?
Let's see. I did like the level where Starwolf came in.
Oh, Starwolf level's good. They introduced him in this game.
Yeah.
I think he was in 2, but then he was never was released. So you do fight Starwolf in some levels.
Was it 2 levels or
is it 3? Yeah, I think there's 2 levels. There's a level where you fight a train, which is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
The tank level. There's a lava level.
Mass level, yep.
Which we went through. Mm-hmm. We talked about the submarine level. There's the
Independence Day level.
Yes, where there's a dogfight happening. And it's really cool, this game, at the time. Playing it now, you might not think it's special, but I remember at the time being so impressed that in the Independence Day level, there was other guys fighting for you, with you, who were actually shooting down bad guys. Like, it's basically a fully 3D level. There are good guys and bad guys, different ships flying around, and you have to repel the enemy fighters until this Independence Day-style mothership comes overhead, and then you have to defeat that. But in the meanwhile, you're fighting alongside Bill, who's a dog, who sounds like a Californian surfer for some reason, and help him out to defeat the fighters. And they're, like, shooting down stuff. We played a level, too, where... you had a tough time playing the 3D mode, and Falco and Peppy and Slippy shot down a robot that was a boss while you were dicking around. So, like, they do help out, and that's, like, for a 1997 game to have the AI, the computer helping you was really weird and different, which made this game... kind of unique for the time. Also, the voiceovers were just, at the time, you heard it in, like, PC games, and you heard it in, like, PlayStation games, but never in Nintendo games. That was something that was special. I remember, like, Zelda even. Zelda never talked, in Twilight Princess, in the Skyward Sword, never talked. He just still doesn't even talk in Breath of the Wild. So it was, like, very strange to have voiceover in a Nintendo game. Mario never talks, too.
Nope.
So,
says, hey, it's a me, a Mario, you know?
Hey, it's a me, a Mario. But yeah, so various different levels. Replayability is great for this thing. It has multiplayer mode.
Yeah, the multiplayer was very, it was like vague. You just, you know, it's an open 3D.
We played this at the same time we played GoldenEye, and we'd play like one match or two in Star Fox, and then we'd just quit and move over to GoldenEye immediately because it was not as good.
Not as good at all.
No. Yeah, but it was one of the first.
It didn't even make a whole lot of sense for when the one person could be the R-Wing and one person could be the Landmaster. Like, the R-Wing would just kick the shit out of the Landmaster.
I don't remember. I thought you all had to be the battle tank.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. But yeah, just the tank was stupid. It was just not very fun. And, like, the level...
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I liked the way it barreled, you know?
Yeah,
it was
fun. It was okay. But at the time, there wasn't a lot of four-player games like that because the N64 introduced local four-player games like that. So.
Right. Mario Kart 64 came out a few months prior.
Right. Which was insanely better than... The multiplayer was way better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So the story of this game is pretty dull. It's not very... We watched the story. The narrator is super boring to listen to at the very outset. Do you remember anything that happened in the intro story?
No, I don't.
So Andross is invading again. He's a monkey.
Yes.
He's invading the Lylat system.
He's an ape.
Is he an ape?
Well, it looks like an ape.
I thought he was a monkey.
He might be a monkey.
But yes, he is invading the Lylat system again after he killed James McCloud, because Pigma betrayed James McCloud, who is Fox McCloud's father, who looks super cool, by the way, because James McCloud wears sunglasses.
But did he really die?
I think so. Even though his ghost guides you out at the last level. Do you remember that?
That was the ghost?
Yeah.
I thought that was really him.
No, I think it's his memory guiding him out.
Sure? I don't know. I thought it was really him. I didn't take it that way.
Well, why doesn't he? Why is he hiding then?
No. I don't want to get caught.
I just like at the end of that, Fox goes, ah! It's really funny. It's really funny the way he says it. But yeah, why is James McCloud always wearing sunglasses? Why has he got to be so cool?
But he's blind, maybe.
He's blind and he's alive? No, that is not correct. No, that is not right. But yes, you have to avenge him because Pigma betrayed him, was a former member of the Star Fox team. And then he moved over to Star Wolf, that asshole. So what do you think of this game?
I mean, I actually forgot how much I did like it because, as you had stated, we just played it, and man, that game's fun. It's a lot of fun. Haven't played it in a long time either, and man, that was a lot of fun. Back in the day when I played it, for a solid year. You know, it'd be a go-to. You know, it'd be like kind of like an instant adrenaline rush. You know, like, it was just quick, fast, and fun.
Instant activating your endorphins.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
I think we were talking about it. The musical cues that happen when you beat the game, when you beat a level, are so good because Nintendo does that so well. Especially with like Zelda, when you open the chest, is a similar feeling when you beat a boss or something. The da-na-na-na of the Zelda, that's really good. But also in Star Fox 64, they have a musical cue that is like epic. And it's like comes in and it's done so well that you get that immediate endorphin rush when you hear that music in this game.
The cinematics were cool too. Like when you beat a boss, it wasn't just like the boss just like blew up in front of you or just like died. It would be like, it would stop. You would no longer have control. And it'd be like a cinematic like view of the boss like dying or exploding.
The boss saying something like in the tank level is like, put the brakes on. There's no brakes. We can't stop. And then he crashes in and destroys the boss. Right. It's really cool. There's
huge
explosions. There's some really cool shit that's in that game. Presentation-wise, this game is great.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Especially for the time, it's like really good. Not a lot of games in 1997 had cutscenes that were animated in-game. They usually had like FMVs that played in the background. So this game was, I wouldn't say it's innovative because other games did this at the time, but it's definitely interesting to see that in 1997. So what would you for your recommendation here on the podcast, would you recommend that people play it, beat it, or complete it?
Oh, all three.
So you want them to complete it?
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
Yeah.
A couple hours.
Play through the whole thing, get all the medals.
Yeah, three times minimum.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's pretty easy. It's fun to play. At the end of it, you get a high score ranking.
You probably won't die, so you won't get frustrated.
Right.
Which, you know, that's pros and cons of the game. People think it's too easy. And others just enjoy being able to whip it, you know?
Right. It's quick. I mean, there's some people who would put the quickness as a negative, which I think kind of is a little bit too short, but at the same time, it's fun to go through it once, you know, a year or every 2 years just to play through that game.
Yeah.
So where do you think it goes on our list of games? We have 12 games on the list now. Well, you can find it up at itsobad.podbean.com, our complete list. It's 12 games now, so I'm not going to read the whole list. But it starts with The Legend of Zelda right now and ends with Contra Hardcore. What we do on the podcast, just to let everybody know, is that we are creating a list of games. And what that means is that, are these games the best games? Are they our favorite games? It's somewhere in between. We discuss these games and we put them on our list. And how we score them is based upon their graphics for their time, their gameplay for the time, their story for when they came out in their contemporary time frame. And now, if they're still fun to play now, we factor that in as well. So, I don't know, Rick, where do you think it kind of lies? Can you give me a range?
Yeah, I have two answers to
okay,
that question.
Okay. Disregard Cuphead.
Number one, as a Nintendo fanboy, I would say it goes to number four. after Metroid and before Cuphead okay. and everything else on the list.
I think that's a little bit much, but...
But as a...
As a realist?
As a realist, I do think it goes in between 7 and 8.
Between 7 and 8, oh!
Yeah. I would knock Hotline Miami down, but it's not as Mortal Kombat's number 7. Not quite that
influential. Do you think Star Fox is better than WWF No Mercy?
I do, yes.
Do you think it's better than Ninja Gaiden?
Yes.
Okay. And,
Yes, definitely Paperboy.
Yes.
And Contra Hardcores, yeah.
So, let's see here. You want it in between Mortal Kombat and Hotline Miami.
That would be my suggestion, yes.
I think that Mortal Kombat deserves to be higher.
Right.
Because it's way more influenced. That game was such a big game at the time. I would say it's less fun to play now, today. So it's definitely... Definitely, Mortal Kombat goes above Star Fox.
Yes.
In my view. Right. Hotline Miami, though... I don't know. It's... I think that game's still more fun to play today. Although it's less time. Maybe it's not as fun to play today. I don't know. Tell me some pros for putting it above Hotline Miami.
I actually think it's a pretty similar game in some aspects. They're both quick games.
Yeah.
You can pick them both up, play them for a half hour, an hour, 3 hours, 5 hours, who knows? And it's just fun. It's quick. It keeps your attention. And
it has that quick adrenaline rush, endorphin release.
I would notch Star Fox 64 above that because...
I think it's probably more important, especially with the release of the Rumble Pack attached to it.
We didn't even talk about the Rumble Pack.
Yeah.
Talk about the Rumble Pack. This was the invention or the beginning of Rumble games.
Right.
And that now people don't even think about it. There's a whole generation of kids that are like, what do you mean the controllers didn't rumble before, you know?
Do you even notice it anymore? I don't even know if I notice it
anymore. You don't notice it. Yeah. But you know when I do notice it?
When
it doesn't do it.
That's probably true.
I'm like, what am I even playing a game right now?
It's something that everybody knows. We used to have to attach a pack onto the controller to make it rumble, and it was like a novelty, and now every controller has rumble on it.
Then this game made it rumble.
Right.
There was some games that used it nonchalantly, like Ocarina of Time, barely felt it. It was there, but this game made it rumble. It was rumbling nonstop. I was over at my friend's house once in 97, and it rumbled so much and so hard that the rumble pack popped right out. It was like the funniest thing.
That is pretty funny. You know, in GoldenEye, they wanted to have, so when you reloaded, they wanted to hit you to put the rumble pack in. And that was like one of the things they were testing when they made the game. They're like,
for what game?
For GoldenEye. You'd pull out the rumble pack and you'd put it back into reload. That'd be so bad. That would ruin that game.
Yeah. They had a lot of weird ideas. And I mean, now it is a long time ago, but they had that idea, which I don't, that's funny. I don't remember hearing about that. But they also had that idea with Perfect Dark, where they were going to use the Game Boy camera and you could take a picture of your face and put yourself into a character.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So you'd have your face on the character playing Deathmatch.
Did they implement that, or was that something that wasn't in that game?
They squashed it because Columbine happened like shortly before it got released, so they just said, we don't want people killing their friends' faces, you know?
Well, that's too bad. So let's do it. Let's put this game at number 8 and push down Hotline Miami. I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Sounds legit. Nice. Well, this is our 13th game we've added to our list of games, and every 2 weeks we will add a new game. I haven't probably talked about this. I haven't made a final decision yet, but I'm pretty sure Paperboy might be a unreleased episode that we will release at some time in the future. It was not the greatest of episodes. We may have drank a little bit too much alcohol, but yes, we have another game to add to our list. What game should we do in the future? What game? I know you want to do Super Mario 64. So yes, yes. What other game you got?
Banjo-Kazooie wouldn't be a bad game to do. There's that game. You know what game we should do? Because everyone played it back in the day. Which totally crapped out as a franchise. Turok.
Turok?
Yeah.
We talked about that in the GoldenEye episode, and there were some partisans who said that Turok was a terrible game, but I loved that game back in the day. I loved it.
Dude, the Cerebro Boar in Part 2?
Oh, I don't remember Part 2.
Dude, they made a gun where it would home into the enemy's head, and then you'd shoot a thing, and it was a circular saw that went into his brain and just kept cutting until he died.
I never played the second one. I played the first one. The first one is interesting because it's the first-person shooter that came out before GoldenEye,
yeah,
which kind of revolutionized everything. And it had a ton of fog everywhere. But yes, I remember it was an okay first-person shooter for the time. So I really dug it. Yeah. But
they had a really weird. They had a lot of like cheat codes in that game,
yes,
that you could like type in, right?
Yeah.
They had a really bizarre one. I don't know if you ever played it, but they had it was like a disco cheat code. So you'd put it in and you start playing the game and there'd be like disco lights everywhere. But then the best part is you'd get close to an enemy instead of the enemy trying to kill you. It would be like dancing to the disco. And you could just run through the whole game, the entire game, and everyone's just doing a disco dance and not killing you.
Very strange.
Really weird.
What other games you got? I don't know if Turok would be the greatest of episodes, but we could talk about it.
Yeah.
What other game you got? Let's get off the N64, because we've done so many N64 games.
You know what? You know what? Fine, we'll go PS.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be good.
Think about the PlayStation, looking back, almost all the games are way too clunky to enjoy now.
Even almost way more clunky than N64 games.
Way more clunky, yeah. Definitely could... N64 power-wise was... It's weird how it shifted, because N64, looking back, way more powerful.
Right.
But now it's obviously way different. It's the other way around.
We could
talk about Resident Evil.
Did you...
Talk about Influential.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be up there.
There's another member of the podcast who wants to talk about Resident Evil. So we should probably do that. I kind of want to wait till it's out on the Switch, because that will... I mean, I kind of want to play games when they're on the Switch. We talked about it earlier.
The remake on GameCube was awesome.
They're porting that to the Switch. Mm. So they're porting Resident Evil Zero.
They just remade Part 2?
It's coming out, next year, early next year.
Okay.
They are porting the Resident Evil Zero and Resident Evil, as well as Resident Evil 4 to GameCube. Oh, no, the Switch. Yeah.
But the Resident Evil 4 would just be a port of GameCube, right?
It
won't be
anything. No, because they made it for PlayStation 4.
They remade it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they remade it. They remastered it. They didn't remake it. Yeah. So, you know how they have that difference. Because the Resident Evil 2, I guess, is going to be like Resident Evil 7, with the same similar controls that they had. So that's coming out So we should do Resident Evil.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's too bad we didn't do it for Halloween. True. We are not timely. But this is, you know, Star Fox is actually going to be the first episode and a quick preview of a two-part series on our space combat games. We're going to be talking about with Chris next week. We're going to be talking about TIE Fighter. So in 2 weeks from this episode, you're going to hear an episode on the PC game TIE Fighter as a preview to everybody. I don't like usually telling people that we are going to be doing something in the future, but we're going to be doing that. So you never play that game.
I have not.
You probably never want to play that game.
Never got into PC games, even now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, a lot of good PC games I missed out on, but.
Yeah, it's good. I can't wait to talk about it. I just beat it. I've never beaten it before. I beat TIE Fighter. So I'm excited to talk about that. But yeah, we should do Resident Evil. We've added another game to the list. Yeah. Number 13 on this list, coming in at number 8, is Star Fox 64 for the N64. And this is great. Thank you, Rick, for being on the podcast.
You're welcome.
You'll be back at some point to record another podcast. I believe now you have the record for most podcasts. You might have wrested that away from Chris. But yes, we will meet again in the future.
We shall.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. You can find us on the interwebs at It's So Bad. It's So Bad Pod on Twitter. On Podbean, it's so bad .podbean.com. And you can also find us on your iTunes, your Google Play, wherever you find podcasts, Spotify. There's multiple places you can find us. But subscribe to us if you like it. If you don't, you know what? Who cares? This is just for us. We're doing this and we're just having a good time. But I hope you enjoyed, and thank you for listening, and come back in 2 weeks when we have a new episode.